You're listening to The Doug Haldeman Show on FM News Talk 97.1.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Doug Haldeman. I'm here with my co-host, Tammy Haldeman. Welcome back, Tammy.
Thanks for having me back.
So if you'd like to reach us, you can text us or call us on the off-air number at 314-472-DOUG. Again, that's 314-472-DOUG, D-O-U-G, which is 3684 are the numbers for that. And Tammy, I know you spent a lot of time building our Facebook page.
Yes, and our blog on DougHaldeman.com. And everybody get on there and like it. And you can research some of the blogs and find maybe some articles that you want to get caught up on. Doug has a lot of good information on there, too.
Oh, thank you. And our guests do, too.
Yes.
We're fortunate there.
Yes, we do. So, Doug, you, as we were leaving the first segment there, you mentioned credit. And so if I have a 615 credit score, sounds good if I think it's out of 100. But it's not quite like that, is it? So what's some of the biggest mistakes people make on regarding credit?
Well, here's one of the mistakes that I see on a regular basis is that people put off having focus on managing their credit. It's not something they do for a living, and they don't understand like the importance of it and how much money it's going to cost them if they don't manage their credit properly.
Right.
So as an example, I had somebody come to me just this week that had a $900,000 house, a very successful business, but they did only have a 615 credit score, like what you just mentioned, Tammy. And with the 615, they can't, you know, that's not that bad necessarily, but you can't qualify for a lot of loan programs.
Right, right.
Especially, you know, with the $900,000 house had about a $700,000 loan, they need a jumbo loan. They really need some very, very good credit.
So if I want to take the reins back and I want to get control of my credit, what score is my goal? Because it's not out of 100.
No.
What is the highest number possible?
850 is the highest score you can have. And we'll never see anybody with an 850. 842 is the highest I've ever seen. And that was one person that I've ever seen like that. If somebody's over 800, it's outstanding.
Okay.
Okay, but if 740 is really the goal of what you want to get your number over.
Okay.
If you're over 740, it will qualify you pretty much all of the best programs, and especially on a conventional loan. So one that gets sold to Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac is a conventional loan. And all the published rates that are out there, when people hear these super low rates, it's always going to be based on a 740 credit score.
Oh, okay. All right. So to qualify for a conventional loan, what would be the best rate to have?
Well, the best rate to have is going to vary based on the timing. So, like this week is an example. The best rate's going to be in the you know, probably 4.25 to 4.5 range, depending on scores, depending on loan amount, and several other factors.
Okay.
But every 20 points under 740 is a hit to your rate.
Okay.
And it can be significant. When we get somebody that's down in like the 660 to 680 range, their rate's almost 0.5% higher in that case.
All right. So is there other programs available for me to qualify for if I have a lower, you know, credit score?
Yes. I mean, FHA is the best for somebody with scores that are not outstanding. They really don't give you a major penalty. As long as you're 640, it's kind of the industry standard for FHA that you need to be at least a 640 credit score to qualify. Now, however, at Cherry Creek, we are fortunate because we're a direct seller to Ginnie Mae. We don't have to sell FHA loans to an investor, you know, like a Chase or a Wells Fargo or any of those big investors.
Right.
We actually can sell directly to the agencies.
Okay.
So we've come up with a program where we can go all the way down to a 580 credit score.
Oh, wow.
With certain circumstances.
Okay.
So it is possible at a 580, but there's still some cleanup work for most people if they're going to be below 600 and they want to be able to qualify for an FHA loan now. We have to do a little cleanup work to it.
Okay. So now, if I want to find out this credit score, I know that there's some things online and stuff like that, but you taught me something about that difference on the type of credit report that I need. So I really encourage people to go to you because it is what you need. And can you explain the difference in the type of credit reports?
Yeah, then with the normal credit report, you're going to see that the maximum score is 850. Then there's something also, and that's your FICO score.
Okay.
Another type of score you'll see out there is a Vantage score. And some of these free services that will do credit, or not free services, but some of these paid services that will do credit monitoring, if they give you a score, it's frequently the Vantage score, and it's almost 100 points higher than a FICO score.
So you might be like, whoa, yeah.
Absolutely. Somebody called me and said, I have a 750 score. So it's more like a 650, 660.
Not so good. All right. So to go to you directly would just solve a lot of problems and confusion.
Yeah. What I'll do is I'll do a credit consultation for somebody if they're looking to buy a house, say, in the next year.
Okay.
So I had some first-time home buyers earlier this week that they did the right thing. They heard us on the air, and they picked up the phone, and they actually called and scheduled a time, and it only cost $25 for them to pull their credit with us, and I'll do a full credit consultation for them.
And let me tell you, everyone out there, because I've sat with you on a credit consultation, and it was with a family member of mine, and the detail that you go through and the information that you provide them and getting them, because it's emotional. It's an emotional attachment to who they think they are, and the reflection of all this debt and bad credit. You help them identify that these are choices, and they can prioritize and separate. It's just amazing. So I'm really proud of you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And it's something that it doesn't pay, in the sense that, you know, I don't charge for these credit consultations.
Right.
It's just the actual price of the credit bureau.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really volunteer time when I do it, with the hope that maybe they'll do a mortgage with me at some point. Maybe they do, maybe they don't. But in turn, it comes back around to me. But mm-hmm. I'll never do the volume of loans that somebody who just churns these deals out. Because most of the time, if somebody has some issues, they just want to go right on to the next one.
So what are some steps to recovery?
Okay, so these are some of the most common things that we see. When I look at a credit report, and I start to evaluate it with somebody, and this is something you can do for yourself if you're listening. Okay, to evaluate your credit, first thing you look at are your credit scores. Okay, and with your credit scores, there'll be three national bureaus, and with each score will come the top four reasons that are bringing your scores down. So when we look at those reasons, in most cases, the number one reason is going to say something like derogatory public record or collection filed.
That sounds like I should be in the principal's office or something.
It does. Like, derogatory public record. Like, it's all this negative language.
You yes.
Know, let's fluff this up a little bit. I wish we could.
Make me feel better.
Well, and that usually tells me that it may be a public record, like a bankruptcy or a judgment, but in most cases, it's just a collection.
Oh, those nasty medical collections that you don't even know about.
Yeah, it could be a utility bill, something that people have let slide and has just popped up on their credit.
Right.
Another common one is time since delinquency is too recent or unknown. Okay, still fits in that same category. 35% of your score comes from any type
on-time
of late
payments.
Right, on-time payments. So that first thing I said, a derogatory public record or collection filed, happens. And then if it's very recent that it happened, then that was that number two reason, that time since delinquency mm-hmm. is too recent or unknown. The older it gets, then the less it affects your score, especially once it hits that two-year point. Then it will affect your score significantly less.
Okay. All right. And then what about the balances on things? What does that...
Okay, that's a big deal. So 30% of your credit score is how you manage revolving debt. Okay, so how you manage credit card debt. So, and that pops up all the time as one of those reason codes.
Now, what is some of the revolving debt? You just said credit cards. Are there other things that are considered that?
Something revolving means you can charge... You can charge it up, and you can pay it down, and you can charge it back up. So it could be a home mm-hmm. equity line of credit
okay.
on a house. Shows it could be just a line of credit, because sometimes they'll say revolving line of credit.
Right.
Or it could be a credit card. Any of those will qualify. And the big thing with that is they'll take your balance, and they divide it by the credit limit, and we want that ratio to be as low as possible.
Okay.
With 10% being the optimum amount.
Okay.
So you want your balance to be 10%.
So if I'm qualified for $100,000 for a revolving credit line, and I have a $50,000 balance, how does that look for you?
It looks okay, but not great.
Okay.
Okay, it's a lot better than having a $95,000 balance on a $100,000 line.
Right.
But if you had a $10,000 balance on a $100,000 line, that would be much better.
Much better. Got it.
Right. Right. It's going to be more neutral if you're at about 50% balance. And so those are some of the things we look at to try to raise scores is, you know, if it gives that reason code about the ratio of the balance to the credit limit, then it's something we need to pay attention to and look at how can you pay it down. And part of our credit consultation, too, is we use Credit Expert, where it will actually tell you what to pay down. And sometimes, like I just had somebody this week that we needed 4 points is all we needed. Well, they could get 8 points, not even by paying anything off, but from transferring a balance a little bit of money from one card to another was enough to be able to raise their score eight points.
That's crazy. Yeah.
And it didn't cost them anything.
Right.
A human could never figure that out because it actually plugs directly into the bureaus to give them that information.
Mm-hmm. So how do you address some of these collections and the balances? What is your advice on that?
Okay, so with collection accounts, that's a big one that is on so many credit reports right now. You look at it in two ways. First off, does it have a balance or does it not have a balance? Okay, the ones that have a balance are what we have to look at first. And then the ones with balances, is it a medical collection or is it something else?
Okay.
If it's a medical collection, you've always asked the question, is do you actually owe the money still?
Right.
Because
we're
going to
have an insurance agent on maybe here today.
Yes, we will. It'll be an interesting topic.
Ask that question today.
Well, because a lot of times someone will pay a collection, and the collection agents are so stinking lazy, they just never report the zero balance back to the credit reports.
Right. I get it. Okay.
So it may be a year old or 2 years old and just quit reporting. It doesn't mean that they actually still owe the money necessarily. So we always have to ask that question. Do they still owe the money? And then they can start to go through and challenge those things. So if it's a medical collection, you call the original creditor, not the collection agency. Call the original creditor, the doctor, the hospital, and you tell them, hey, listen, I'll pay you the money if you'll remove it from my credit report. Okay? If they won't remove it from the credit report, which you have about a 50-50 chance of doing this. If
right.
they won't remove it from the credit report, then you start offering a reduced balance. Okay, can you pay them less money and it'll take a little bit less money to be able to go ahead and settle it out. At some point, that collection is going to have to get paid, and you can't let it sit there and just fester because it's not going to get any better on its own.
So it's going to take a little bit of work.
It is going to take a little bit of work, and this is a topic that I think we're going to have to keep talking about because it just keeps coming up, and I think that people really, really need this information to be able to make sure that make sure they're taking care of this. And I would highly advise you to go to my website. If you go to DougHaldeman.com, we're going to have a link on there for credit, and you actually can enter all your information, get your credit pulled. You can't get your credit report directly from it, but you can schedule a credit consultation with me, and I'll send you a copy of the credit report, and we'll go through and make sure that we maximize your credit scores.
Roll up your sleeves, people.
Absolutely.
Call Doug.
So Tammy, coming up, we have the health insurance exchanges just open on October 1st.
Mm-hmm.
This is a big deal. And when we're looking at people's finances, healthcare is a huge percentage of the amount of money that people spend. So I thought it would be very, very important for us to invite an expert on this topic. So we have Susan Carpenter from MFP Benefits that's going to be joining us coming up about health insurance and Obamacare and everything
that
you need to know.
Yes.
You're listening to Doug Haldeman Show on FM News Talk 97.1.